Welcome to the Devil's Advocate. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate. I am your host, Hadding Scott. This program is sponsored by ARMREG Limited. That's ARMREG Limited, a seller of historical revisionist books. There will be information about ARMREG Limited at the end of this broadcast. Please do listen to that. This broadcast will begin with an essay about the Holocaust and illegal immigration. This is an essay that I wrote during the first Trump administration called "This Strange Hesitation About Deporting Illegal Immigrants." Could it have something to do with the Holocaust? There was a time, not many decades ago, when there was a presumption that people who had entered the United States illegally should be deported. Why is there so much squeamishness about this today? Sending people who are illegally present in the United States back to the countries where they are entitled to live is in no way an injustice. If they have acquired skills and education or a little bit of money while in the United States, they can use those abilities and resources to be successful in their own countries. How did we become so weak-willed about doing what is clearly just and in our national interest? We hear that there is a demand for cheap foreign labor from large corporations. Granted. But what is it that weakens the resolve to say no to this demand for cheap labor? Richard Harwood, I think, gave the answer to this question in 1974. His revisionist primer, "Did 6 Million Really Die?" was motivated by observation of the demoralizing effect of Holocaust propaganda on the British national will for self-preservation. Richard Harwood noted, quote, "When Enoch Powell drew attention to the dangers posed by colored immigration into Britain in one of his early speeches, a certain prominent socialist raised the specter of Dachau and Auschwitz to silence his presumption," close quote. That British socialist politician was Tony Benn, B-E-N-N, who just died a few years ago. Another ramification of this attack on Enoch Powell, which may be familiar to you, is that famous Monty Python skit about Mr. Hilter running for office in Britain with that nice Mr. Bimler and Ron Ribbentrop. That was a variation on this theme of defamation against Enoch Powell. A rather entertaining variation, but That's fundamentally what this was about. And it's all because Enoch Powell wanted to stop the demographic transformation of Britain. If you do that, then you're on your way to another Holocaust. Or so we're supposed to believe. So Enoch Powell's speech, his ability to speak candidly about the trouble with immigration into Britain, was stifled by bringing up Dachau and Auschwitz. Similarly, the fact that the United States ever had a policy of rejecting undesirable immigrants, or of preferring immigrants that resemble the pre-existing population, has been speciously represented as a cause of the Holocaust. For example, by Edwin Black in his book The War Against the Weak. Limiting immigration in order to preserve a nation's character is supposed to lead, sooner or later, to gassing of Jews, if you believe Edwin Black. It seems likely that the effect of Holocaust propaganda, which is certainly much more powerful today than it was in 1974, is at least part of the explanation for the American majority's present-day hesitation to defend its own interests. The high priest of the Holocaust, Elie Wiesel, once declared his all-out opposition to immigration control by non-Jewish states, in other words, by states other than the State of Israel, when he uttered these oft-quoted words, "No human being is illegal." Echoing Elie Wiesel, the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum implies on its website that there can be no such thing as illegal immigration by Jews or anybody else, putting the word illegal in scare quotes in a map that appears on the Holocaust Memorial Museum's website. It says, "Jewish, quote, illegal, close quote, immigration, 1945 to 1947. So all of those Jews that flooded into the USA at the end of the Second World War without going through immigration, they're only so-called illegal immigrants, according to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. It shows that the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum is an advocate of illegal immigration, doesn't it? Or at least a defender of illegal immigration. Mass deportation seems to be viewed by many Jews as part of the Holocaust, and thus a crime. But Jews are certainly not the only population that ever experienced a mass deportation. Deportation is one of the tools that any relatively prosperous nation must have to preserve its culture, its identity, its everything, against being overwhelmed with opportunity seekers until the standard of living at home and abroad approaches equilibrium. Even the State of Israel runs afoul of this so-called lesson of the Holocaust, this taboo against mass deportation. Jews have a stake in illegal immigration and immigration generally. It is a way of increasing diversity, thus making organized opposition to Jewish power more difficult. They weaken the majority as a way to protect themselves and empower themselves as a minority. The various immigrant populations, instead of assimilating, are encouraged to become elements of a so-called multicultural society that can be mobilized within an anti-majority coalition. This pattern of behavior by Jews is described by Professor Kevin R. MacDonald in terms of evolutionary psychology as a survival strategy. The same phenomenon is acknowledged in mainstream political parlance, but is less perspicaciously described as the Democrats
trying to increase the number of Democratic voters and secure a Democratic majority. But fact is, the Democratic Party has become, in effect, the Jewish Party. Look at Joe Biden's cabinet. Not to say that the Republican Party also does not have a lot of Jewish influence in it. Of course it does. They hedge their bets by trying to keep a hand on both parties and their nominees. But Trumpism as a populist movement implicitly threatens Jewish influence in the Republican Party, which is why they fundamentally hate Trumpism. Jewish support for illegal immigrants is also clearly a matter of self-justification, insofar as Jews have been notorious practitioners of illegal immigration. Famously, Jews illegally entered Palestine during the period of restricted immigration under the British Mandate, and after the British decided in 1939 that no more Jews should settle there. Some of the illegal immigrants to Palestine, like Menachem Begin, became anti-British terrorists. Less well known is that even from Axis Europe during the war, there were attempts at illegal immigration to Palestine by Jews. Two ships that were allowed to leave Romania during the war, loaded with Jews, the Struma and the Mefcure, are known because they happened to come to a bad end. Wikipedia's page about Aliyah Bet mentions a few other examples. This illegal immigration to Palestine was not a mere accumulation of individual choices. It was part of an organized effort to bring Jews into Palestine illegally. The State of Israel could not have come into being when it did without illegal immigration. Another example, many Jews from Eastern Europe called Ostjuden had entered Germany before Hitler came to power. The ejection of these foreign Jews from Germany is portrayed as somehow a precursor to the Holocaust, which is quite illogical insofar as Jews expelled from Germany could neither be shot nor forced into a gas chamber. Herschel Grunspan, the Jew who murdered a German diplomat and supposedly triggered Kristallnacht in November 1938, was from such a family of Ostjuden who had been denied citizenship in Germany and were therefore deported to Poland. Grunspan himself was an illegal immigrant in France at the time of the murder. A recent book by historian Libby Garland, After They Closed the Gates, Jewish Illegal Immigration to the United States, 1921 to 1965, published by the University of Chicago Press in 2014, documents that Jews rampantly violated restrictions on immigration to the United States before the restrictions were relaxed in 1965. This, of course, includes the period when Jews are supposed to have perished in the Holocaust. Reviewer Ronald Bayor states, quote, Jewish immigrants, like many others from Europe or elsewhere, turned to bribery, smugglers, fake papers, stowing away, overstaying visitor visas, and other strategies for illegal admission. And that's an abstract from Ronald Bayer's article in American Jewish History, the 2nd of April, 2015. Some put the number of Jewish illegal immigrants to the United States during the period 1921 to 1965 in the tens of thousands. But reviewer Hasia Diner states that Garland has, quote, no solid numbers, close quote. Where did the Jews go is today's last-ditch defense of the Holocaust. Illegal immigration may supply part of the answer. As it turns out, some portion of illegal immigrants hoping for amnesty under DACA, that was Obama's program, were also Jews. The Jewish Journal presented several examples of illegal immigrant families from Israel who overstayed visas, one of the tactics that Libby Garland mentioned in her book. A Jewish immigration attorney in Beverly Hills, Neil Sheff, said that there were many Jews living as illegal aliens in Los Angeles. They came not only from Israel, but from Russia, South Africa, and France. That was from an article by somebody named Artsy in the Jewish Journal, the 13th of September, 2017. Even some of the so-called dreamers from Latin America turn out to be Jews. Elias Rosenfeld from Venezuela is a famous example of a Jewish illegal immigrant from Latin America. His name has appeared in a number of articles, including an apologia by Reform Rabbi Jonah Pesner. Rosenfeld happens to be a student at Brandeis University and an intern for Congresswoman Elizabeth Warren. That was reported by CNN on the 13th of March, 2017. Rosenfeld may be unusual in the notoriety that he has received, but in respect to being a Jewish illegal immigrant from Latin America, he is surely far from unique. It is clear that Jews have been significantly involved in illegal immigration during the past century. In recent decades, Jews have invoked the Holocaust as an argument for indulgence of such lawbreakers, and not only for the Jewish ones. On the 23rd of January, 2017, Haaretz published an essay by Bradley Burstyn, sharply criticizing President Trump's advisor, Stephen Miller, who is a Jew, for his support for curbing illegal immigration and possibly repatriating illegal immigrants. The title was, "Jews Know Deportation as a Crime Against Humanity. Jews Accept Netanyahu and Trump's Boy Miller." So, you see, because Stephen Miller has rejected the Jewish consensus on illegal immigration and instead shares the view of the American majority, he is denigrated as Trump's boy, as if he were a valet or a shoeshine boy. And that was in Haaretz on the 18th of January, 2018. On the 5th of September, 2017, the Jewish Forward published an opinion by contributing editor Samuel G. Friedman. "We Jews were once dreamers. We must stand up for DACA." Close quote. Friedman begins his article with a reference to Jewish children who, he says, experienced violence from non-Jews in Minneapolis while the dimensions of the final solution were being discovered and chronicled by Allied troops during World War II. And Mr. Friedman is mistaken there because the films made by Allied troops document disease and deaths from Allied bombing and not the Holocaust. Anglo-American troops did not even go to the places where the Holocaust was supposed to have happened. And the films made in Auschwitz, as you learned last week on this program, were all staged. Those were all staged scenes. There's no such thing as what Samuel G. Friedman says, dimensions of the final solution being chronicled by Allied troops. Everything that people think is a video record of the Holocaust is actually not. It's something else being misrepresented. Given all this, it may seem surprising that the chairman of the Democratic National Committee at that time, Keith Ellison, came under criticism from Jews in 2017 for comparing illegal immigrants to refugees from the Holocaust. Keith Ellison said, "If you ask yourself, what would I do
If I was a Gentile in 1941, if my Jewish neighbors were under attack by the Nazis, would I give them sanctuary? You might be about to find out what you would do.
So Keith Ellison, who is black and not a Jew, did what some Jewish authors have done, invoking the Holocaust in defense of illegal immigrants. Criticism came from neoconservative Jews like Nathan Lichtman, who declared,
"There is no moral equivalency between dreamers and Holocaust victims, period."
And that appeared in PJ Media on the 19th of September, 2017. This statement by Nathan Lichtman, of course, directly contradicts what some other Jews have been saying. Keith Ellison was only elaborating an idea already expressed by Jews and for Jews in Haaretz and in the Forward. Nathan Lichtman and other neocon Jews may be concerned to disengage reverence for the Holocaust from Keith Ellison and his agenda, which is so obviously destructive to the United States and so disagreeable to the white conservative voters that the neoconservatives woo. But a perhaps more pressing concern for Nathan Lichtman was that this alleged universal principle that mass deportation per se is immoral because of the Holocaust has already become an embarrassment for the state of Israel and causes the state of Israel to be subjected to a charge of hypocrisy. Zionist Jews, who have used the Holocaust to excuse the violence of their Jewish state, seem at times to have difficulty living by the so-called lessons of their own Holocaust myth. Samuel G. Friedman in The Forward and Bradley Burstyn in Haaretz criticized not only the American project of getting control over immigration, but a similar project in the State of Israel. Bradley Burstyn wrote,
"This week, Benjamin Netanyahu's defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, launched a censorship bid to silence comparisons between the targets of Israeli security forces and the Jews hunted down by the wartime Nazis. I am not objective about this issue. No one is. I generally find comparisons to the Nazis to be specious, exploitative, and terribly disrespectful. But no less disrespectful is the idea that the lessons of the Holocaust may only be applied to Jews, and only when Jews are the victims."
So, Zionism, occasionally, it seems, stumbles over the so-called lessons of the Holocaust, from which they expect to be exempt. And you see that also, certainly, in the past year, with the horrendous atrocities going on in Gaza. Most likely, Jewish ethnocentrism will not allow an argument for consistent application of the so-called lessons of the Holocaust coming from the Jewish left to motivate the state of Israel to commit demographic suicide by allowing large numbers of undesirable immigrants. In the United States, however, the outcome is much more in doubt.
Are you someone who is seeking to truly understand the profound lessons of our past? Look no further. At ArmReg, we are dedicated to empowering all who seek to know the truth and shame the devil through meticulously researched books about World War II and the Holocaust. Each title offers crucial and often neglected insights and perspectives that help the honest reader to honor those who have gone before us and to enlighten future generations. Visit us at armreg.co.uk That's armreg.co.uk to explore our collection and to join us in preserving and promoting real history. Remember, truth in history matters, and ArmReg is committed to sharing it with the world. Please do visit my sponsor, ArmReg, that's armreg.co.uk.
Mention Devil's Advocate for a 15% discount.
You can find me on Twitter at Unapproved Radio, @Unapproved Radio on Twitter.